There are moments in life you never forget. The first time you kiss your spouse. The birth of your first child. Your favorite baseball team finally winning the World Series. For many of us, the awakening of our minds to the sovereignty of God is one of these unforgettable moments. It's like being born again, many Christians remark, after their faith is renewed by an understanding of the doctrines of grace. Everything changes. It is not that they begin to trust God. All believers must trust God, but that they see the truth about the God they trust. And the truth, as Jesus promised, sets us free. Free to rejoice in the glory of divine grace that truly is gracious. This book is about the doctrines of grace, biblical teaching about the sovereignty of God at work in our salvation. The doctrines of grace offer a perspective on salvation in which God truly is God, so that everything depends on His will and works to His glory. As with all God's attributes, sovereignty is not a mere abstraction, but a reality that shapes the warp and woof of our experience. The real God is a God who really is sovereign over all reality. Reality in this world is always governed by the statement that begins the Bible: "In the beginning, God." For in truth, everything, every event, every truth, every experience begins with God. And so it must be if God really is the God of the Bible, a God who sees all, who knows all, and who is almighty. This is the great truth that opens our eyes to the glory of our sovereign God. He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end of all things. For from Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, Paul writes. To Him be glory forever. Amen. Romans chapter 11, verse 36. By sovereignty, we mean that God actively governs everything. By everything, we mean all things that happen, from the greatest to the least of occurrences. "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny?" asked Jesus. "Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care." Matthew chapter 10, verse 29. So, sovereignty means according to God's sovereign will. God's sovereignty in salvation means that believers are saved for this sole ultimate reason, according to God's sovereign will. Or, as Paul wrote, our salvation was predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. That sums it up about as well as possible. We are saved according to God's sovereign purpose, by God's sovereign working, according to God's sovereign will. Salvation truly is from Him and through Him and to Him. Romans chapter 11, verse 36. When this truth breaks into our minds and hearts, we glory in God forever. Isaiah's vision of sovereignty. A great many Christians can bear testimony to the earth-shaking effects of realizing the sovereignty of God. These same kinds of testimonies are found in the Bible. Perhaps none more profound than the prophet Isaiah's account of his life-changing encounter with the sovereign Lord. If the Apostle Paul is the New Testament figure most associated with the teaching of God's sovereignty, his Old Testament counterpart is surely Isaiah. How did Isaiah gain his understanding of God's sovereignty? And what influence did this have on his life? In other words, how would Isaiah answer the question, "What's so great about the sovereignty of God?"